On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast series brought to you by our good friends at Insurance Journal. And as we head into the fall of 2018 and look ahead to 2019, we're spending some time on the topic of insurance technology, or what today we call is InsurTech, and its impact in particular on the independent agent and broker channel. And we have a special guest today to help us dissect some of what's going on out there. He's the IT director at the Crichton Group, which is an independent broker, agent broker down in Tennessee. Is that right, Mr. Ryan Deeds?
Yes, it is. Old Nashville.
Nashville, right.
And town. It's a party town.
It's a party town. It's also an incredible growing town that's probably needs a good insurance broker.
It does. I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity for sure. A lot of millennials are coming here. So it's kind of hipster paradise. I walk around, I'm like, golly, I feel so old.
Yeah. Well, it's a great location to be providing risk management and insurance services. I wanted to start out, we got a lot to talk about, but first, why don't you give the listeners a little primer on your background, where you came from, how you got involved in this wonderful business.
Sure. I was actually working at Tropicana Orange Juice in 2001, right after 9/11, and I saw an insurance agency in Florida looking for a system administrator, a junior system administrator. So I said, well, I'm pretty junior, let me give it a shot. And I got that job. A couple years later, I got up to the IT manager, and we really got into analytics because of some of the economic environment that we were going through. That was 2005, 2006. Up to 2011, really. With the recession and Florida just getting creamed, we got heavy into analytics, using SQL and all kinds of different data to try to determine, you know, where our clients were going, what revenue was being lost, who did what in the agency. So we had just a ton of operational analytics, and that kind of solidified. That was a good training under fire. So during that tenure there, I met Kay Ladd at the Crichton Group, and she brought me up here a couple years later, and I've been here ever since. And so I've been lucky. We have some young leverage donors here, which I always think is imperative to innovation in an agency. We've got to move that needle. And we've been able to do some really neat stuff here, and we use all kinds of different technologies. We primarily do Python, which is a programming language, and SQL, which is a database language. So it's fun stuff.
Okay. So did you say you have younger leverage buyers? You mean so you have a perpetuation plan in place? Is that what you meant?
Yes, sir. Indeed.
Okay.
When I look at agencies, and they come to me for, like, innovation consultation, which happens pretty regularly, I always look at the perpetuation plan because I think that that's so imperative to innovation. You know, if you have a single owner that is selling out or a multitude of older owners that are not internally perpetuating, they're a lot less likely to invest in innovative technologies, is from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Man, you just hit the nail on the head right there. I think that is a tremendous and ongoing nagging problem that's going to rear its ugly head in a big way in 5 to 10 years when all this stuff truly emerges, if there's not a plan. I mean, that's the whole problem in a nutshell right there, because you can't keep just cutting a check to the agency management system and call it a day, right?
That's right. I mean, you have to be able to, you know, when you look at what it takes to entice a producer today, you know, there's a thought of distribution once that producer becomes successful. And that distribution lowers the agency's ability to reinvest into things that make it progressive. And that automatically doesn't scale very effectively. You know, if you have a producer that sells $400,000 worth of new business a year, that is a that that's a workhorse producer right there. That is, I've only seen a couple of those in my life that are just consistently putting up those kind of numbers. And those guys join an independent agency instead of a large broker because of the chance of large distributions over time and the ability to build wealth. Well, that's a direct, if you have five or six producers like that that are perpetuating, it's just, I think that when you look at existential crisis from a agency perspective, that's where it is. It's how do we create mechanisms that can sell at scale without having to entice them through these massive distributions. I mean, you've seen the larger brokerage is moved to AE models. They're less producer centric, and it's just it's something that does it. It's always buzzing in my head, like how can we do this? You know, and keep there's always going to be a need for great producers, but it's going to continue to get harder to compete if you're relying on only great producers to grow your organization.
I hadn't really made the connection until you raised this, Ryan, about the need for just to think about technology differently, and then tying that to a succession plan where you identify future owners earlier on and that sort of thing instead of waiting to the last minute. But man, it just makes a lot of strategic sense. Assuming that your firm has some sense of technology. And you mentioned programming before, and we got to talk about that too, but for an agency that doesn't have a programming acumen in-house like they have with you, what should they be focusing on now from a technology standpoint? Because I know that a lot of things have been cobbled onto or integrate with agency management systems over the years, but I don't know if it's everything, and what would be your recommendation to firms that want to be around in 10 years? What sort of technology areas should they be focusing on?
There's only one. I mean, and I honestly believe this. I think if agencies focus on one main technology, if they understand APIs, application programming interfaces, which allow you – agencies benefit from it the greatest, in my opinion. But they need an IT department, and they need to staff their IT department effectively enough to allow their IT department to understand what APIs are, what APIs can do for their agency, and how they can provide value at the desk through these mechanisms, because that's the future. And it's not going to be a coding solution. I think if you look in 5 years, you're going to have things like Zapier, even more prevalent. You have a couple other no-code solutions that you're kind of plugging APIs together. And that's what I think technology will be in 5 years and 10 years. You're not going to have an IT guy with these deep programming chops. You're going to have a business solver that understands how to take this solution that's prepackaged and that solution that's prepackaged and connect them through APIs, through some kind of conduit. And so that's what I would always tell agencies is if you don't understand what an API is, then do your due diligence, because at this point it's just negligence to not understand it. Because that's how we're going to tap into Bitcoin, and that's how we're going to tap into AI, and that's how we're going to tap into vision. That's how we're going to tap into all the cool things is through these APIs.
Okay. So APIs are computers talking to computers as opposed to a user interface where you're looking at a website and putting in information. This is behind the scenes, right?
Right. I think of it as this. For insurance, I use claims. So if you have a large claims description and you have 10,000 large claims descriptions and you wanted to be able to easily determine what body location, what severity, and what was some of the key words around it, you could use a human to do that. And a human, it would take a human X number of hours to do that. Or you could write about 3 or 4 lines of code, send it up to Watson or one of the AI APIs. They would actually get the block of text, they would figure out those keywords, and they would spit back like the keywords, the body part, take out all the garbage stuff, so you just have the relevant information that is left.
And this is happening today. It's available right now. Anybody can do it. It's free for the most part. I mean, there's no cost to most of this stuff, and so unless you're doing massively high volume. And so just having a fundamental understanding, because everything has an API now, and understand what that, when you say those words, API, what does that really mean? It's computers talking to computers, but it's really you leveraging much larger functionality than you ever could in a very easy way. That's how I think of it.
Okay. Well, what are some, you mentioned prepackaged solutions. So you're an independent agency. What are some things you'd want to be plugging into via API once you understand API?
I mean, my favorite is Twilio. You know, I mean, it's deeply nerdy, but my favorite is Twilio. Twilio is an API that allows you to communicate via text message. And so, like, for us, we created a employee alert system. So if our employee, you know, if we have a snow day or icy roads, the COO texts this number, and then everybody in our company gets a text, you know, from that. There's a million ways you could solve that problem, but it cost us, it was almost nothing just for us to throw up and make it work, you know.
Okay.
The thing I like about that kind of tool is it fits in the workflows. Because when you look at bringing technology into an agency, the more closely that I can replicate the user's workflow today, the more successful that process and that implementation will be. APIs allow me to implement them and integrate them in a very seamless way where the user doesn't even know they're using technology sometimes. I will tell you Ignite. Ignite is a big one that we use, and it's a very easy file sharing system that has good APIs, and a lot of people are using that to build portals. Slack is obviously a big one, but then you've got very specific insurance one like HazardHub, Ask Kodiak. And again, each one of those has their own rules. Bold Penguin, you know, all these companies are coming out with APIs that agencies can take advantage of if they give their technical people the right staffing and the right amount of time.
Interesting. So, let's look at Bold Penguin for a second. It's a is it a quoting engine, or is it more like an independent agency online, or both?
So I think Bold Penguin's place is, so say that you are a broker in Colorado and your business owner has a house in Florida. Well, you could have your staff go around and try to quote the house in Florida from markets that you might not have and a risk that you don't really understand. Or you could send it to Bold Penguin. Bold Penguin would say, hey, this risk is worth, you know, $300 revenue. They match it up with a broker that signed up to Bold Penguin that can take the risk and provide an accurate level of service to the risk. And they kick you back half of the revenue when they transfer that. And so that's Bold Penguin's deal, right, is they take risk that you might not be scaled for, is how I like to think of it, and gives it to an agency that may be able to make it more efficient and effective for them.
Okay, interesting. So is it a newer version, say, of like a wholesale, kind of a wholesale market? Or
I mean, you have two things with Bold Penguin. When you sign up as a referrer, or you sign up as somebody who gets referred. And because they have so you can go through their system and log into their system and do it, or you can write code into your existing applications to be able to make it a seamless transition from your CSRs to Bold Penguin in a way that they might not even know it's Bold Penguin, right? They just know that, hey, I hit this button and I know that the risk it's taken care of. And that's kind of the power of, in my opinion, you know, the API. But that's Bold Penguin model. I think Kodiak has a great model as well, and that's, here are the carriers on the platform. You give us an SIC code, and we will give you the carriers that write that SIC code and the programs that are written for that SIC code that your agency has access to. Obviously, there's a lot of caveats because you have to have the data filled out correctly, but if that's like I built a texting app where my producers can text in an SIC code or trash, thinking my producer goes to lunch, he sees Bob. Bob works at, you know, Trash Compactor X. He's not a client, but they go to lunch and say, "Hey, well, what do you got for me?" And my producer with a text message could then get the carriers and the programs that are offered to understand the five or six different key areas of risk that that person might face, that that company might face, making my producer look more educated, hopefully increasing his close ratio. I mean, that's where my brain goes with that kind of stuff.
You know, there's so much, you know, you're really talking too about the personal but also commercial lines applications. You know, there's so much frictional stuff that goes on in insurance workflows, and a lot of this, it sounds like the API trend will clean up some of that frictional stuff. I mean, getting there might be kind of painful, but for those that are into this, it like you said, the CSRs don't know the difference. That's kind of cool, right? Because you're not asking for a new workflow.
Implementationless technology is what I strive to both create and bring in. If it's implementationless, that means that I don't have to push it, that I don't have to sell it, that they see either the commensurate value in the utilization of the product itself, or it is so simple and so non-deviant from their current workflow that it just works. Those are the solutions that you get the most adoption with. If you go and try to change that person's workflow, if you try to really, you know, it that's when you get muddled. Oh, the technology didn't work. Oh, this didn't work. It was none of that. It was the solution didn't work because we didn't get it to the place that the user could see value in a way that was commensurate with the effort that was needed. But what I think is so funny is to even have those conversations. Because I get called a lot, right, to get, hey, come and do technology. And I say, no, I can't do technology for you. We have to come and I have to look at your culture first and your perpetuation strategy. Because if you've got four guys that own 25% apiece and, you know, you're all in your 60s, there's not much I'm going to be able to do for you. You know, how are you going to be able to push that down? Because it's not going to be something that they'd have to really have a vested interest in making a change. And I typically do that. And so it's all intertwined and intertwined and intermingled, you know, but it's very curious to try to unravel it, to find root cause. I spend a lot of time thinking about root cause in insurance agencies.
Yeah. So how did the API, this is a really dumb question, but, you know, I'm good at that. What is the future of the agency management system as we know them today, as it pertains to all of this new stuff you're describing?
Well, I mean, I think when you look at it, you see what I see is Tech Canary, right? Now, Tech Canary might not be the one and done, be all, end all of things in 20 years, but I do believe that Tech Canary will set the precedent, in like a Verunda, will set the precedent for what agency management systems have to be going forward. The problem with what we have today when we have an Epic or we have a Sagita is you have two high-speed technologists that work at Crichton that want to do really cool stuff, but we're massively limited by the ability of our agency management system. But my buddy, Chris Roman, who moved to Tech Canary, you know, when he wants to give texting to his consumer, he just plugs in a module that somebody built on Salesforce, and now his agency management system has texting. You know, if they want to do email collaboration in marketing, they just plug it in. With us, we have to buy a product. We have to then figure out how to extract data, import data, which all lowers the effectiveness of it, which all increases the complexity of it, which then diminishes your ability to determine, you know, is it working, where the problem lies. And so I think that most agency management systems will follow suit after Tech Canary and be creating more and more open APIs where we can tap into and integrate them with all kinds of stuff. I think the real problem is the carriers. The carriers, and I think it's an interesting conundrum because I wish every carrier had a rating API that I could use. And at the same point, if I'm a principal in an insurance agency, I really don't want that, because that means that if I had Chubb, Hartford, Hanover, and I had their APIs, and I was going to go quote on a food truck, I could submit it through the API to all three of those. They could get me back instantly, which now reduces my customer friction, which I am now able to provide a better customer experience, which the agent can't do very effectively today. But the consumer then is typically going to buy on price. Well, none of the entities that exist, the carriers or the brokers, really want that world where we continue to commoditize the product. And so how do you create a frictionless experience without commoditization is a very difficult question, and one that I spend a lot of time pondering, because I get frustrated with the carriers because they don't have these rating APIs that we can use externally, but they will give them to a cover wallet, or they will come up with a bold, you know, they'll allow Bold Penguin to write them for them because they have a scalable model that an independent agency just typically won't be able to hit.
Interesting. So as you look down the road, Ryan, at 2019, and there's been a tremendous amount of outside and even in recent years inside of the insurance industry investment in this whole space of insurtech. As you look down the road, what are some lessons people have learned along the way, and what do you see happening next year and beyond?
I think we'll continue to see M&A. I think that there a lot of these insurtech folks that we see today are test beds for the carriers. They're kind of like beta tests. That's how I see it. Like, the carriers are sitting back waiting to see which one resonates, which one works, which one doesn't, and then they'll either, you know, they'll either purchase them, or they will replicate parts of their functionality. I think that agency management systems continue to get more and more fragmented. I think that, you know, Epic and Apply, Epic and Sagita or Vertafore start moving faster. I mean, I hope they do. I can't see how they – I mean, golly, some of the things that we have to kludge together are crazy. And so I think that that becomes easier. But I think it's going to be the progressive agency that takes time, sits back, understands what features and functionality exist today, and then build a comprehensive client experience for their customers as best they can with that technology that wins. I think there will always be a place for an insurance agency. As a guy I consulted with once said, he said, the world is getting more complex and more risky. How does the independent agent lose? And I agree with that. I think that the world gets more complex and more risky if we keep focused on customer experience, on figuring out how we can do it better using the technology that is out there, we will surprise people. I mean, you're seeing some agencies do some really innovative stuff right now. And the ones that survive in the next 5 or 10 years, I mean, those are going to be the best of the best, I think, because I think there will be so many mergers and acquisitions as some of these older shops that don't want to compete and don't want to keep up fade out and sell out.
Okay. Well, Ryan, thank you for sharing some insight. We'll stay in touch with you. I know we'll see you on the circuit at different conferences and stuff. But this is changing so quickly. In 6 months' time, you might have a slightly different version of this soliloquy, and that's why I want to stay in touch with you, because I know what your work with an agency and others puts you on the forefront of this, not just observing but also doing. So.
We're trying to for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, it's. I don't know anyone else that is experimenting with APIs. I know they're talking about it, might know something about it, but I've seen some of your social media posts, and you're actually experimenting, which is really cool. So keep it up.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to help the agency principals conceptualize that technology so they can say, hey, we don't have to go pay a vendor. I mean, when you think about the insurtechs, a lot of the stuff you can replicate today with a couple of APIs. They would say, oh, no, you don't want to do that. You don't have the expertise. But I would say maybe it's easier for me to do that and work it into my workflow than to take your product and try to kludge it into my workflow, which will never work. I mean, that's why we've seen it fail over and over again. And so, yeah, it's exciting, man. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Thank you, Ryan, very much.